The Alaska Permanent Fund took a $3 billion hit over the last 3 months. It is no longer worth $40 billion in value. Fund managers say investments returned a negative 8.3% for the first quarter of the fiscal year, largely attributed to slow growth and political and economic difficulties around the world. Most of the decline in value attributed to plummeting stocks. August was a especially rough month, with equity markets plunging as much as 19% in just days. Chief Executive Officer Michael Burns says when they reported more than 20% return for the last fiscal year, he says his enthusiasm was tempered because bull markets do not last forever. Burns says they don't chase returns or take a reactive approach to investing. Instead, he says they try to build an all-weather portfolio that does not change to reflect market conditions. Stocks may have declined, but Burns says their real estate holdings remained essentially flat and they had modest returns for their bonds. Net income for the quarter, which is used to calculate dividends, totaled $468 million. Shareholders for Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation can look forward to another dividend payment next month. Sea Alaska's Board of Directors has approved a dividend distribution of nearly $12 million to the corporation's more than 20,000 shareholders. It's the second payment this year and will mean $1.02 per share for village and descendant shareholders and twice that for elders. Sea Alaska Chief Investment Officer Anthony Malott says the dividend reflects losses from the economic downturn.
The operations distribution and the permanent fund distribution have been in just over a dollar range. We have now for a couple of years, mainly affected by the fact that we average our distributions over a long time period, and we're still averaging the negative effects of 2008, where there were significant investment losses within our portfolio and there were some operational losses as well.
Urban at-large shareholders will receive $6.12 per share under revenue sharing among Alaska's regional native corporations required by Section 7I of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Additional payments are made to the various village corporations that can pass the money on to shareholders or use it for operations. Dividends are paid for revenue sharing, earnings from a corporation permanent fund, as well as earnings off of investments in Sea Alaska's subsidiary businesses. The corporation owns timber, construction, and environmental services businesses. It's also invested in plastics manufacturing and information technology. Malott anticipates payments could increase as the economy improves.
You know, one of the long-term goals of Sea Alaska is to create and provide meaningful distributions to their shareholder base, and we continually strive for that. The amounts recently are probably under our goal if you don't count the 7I, but again, you know, we're working out of the Great Recession, and we'll continue to build those distributions to a point where, you know, both the winter and the spring distributions are meaningful to those shareholders that are in our villages and elsewhere.
Including last spring's payment, the corporation's total dividend this year will be nearly $24 million. Fall dividend payments will be made by direct deposit or U.S. mail around December 8th. The Parnell administration is looking to fill the void left by the closure of the Alaska Coastal Management Program in June. The program helped coordinate the local, state, and federal permitting process for development projects in coastal areas of the state. Last session, the administration and House Republicans fought proposed changes designed to make it more accountable to local communities, and the legislature failed to reauthorize the program. State Division of Oil and Gas Director Bill Barron told the House Resources Committee this week that the Department of Natural Resources has established a special task force to help developers navigate permitting issues. He says the administration has no plans to reestablish the old coastal management program and says instead the task force is looking at modifying the Office of Project Management and Permitting, or OPMP.
What we're trying to structure is recognizing that OPMP has worked very well. Is there a way that we can have, gosh, for the lack of a better term, OPMP light, something that a smaller company can use to help coordinate that? Is that a twist on ACMP? Maybe. It depends on how you slice the words.
Bethel Democrat Bob Herron, who attempted to negotiate reauthorization of the Coastal Management Program last session, asked Barron about the practical side of the administration's work.
OPA Lite going to be recognized by your federal counterparts?
I believe that part of that is how we structure it and how we present it, but we'll find out.
A citizens' initiative co-sponsored by Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello that would reestablish an Alaska Coastal Management Program is currently under review by Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell's office. Botello says the program gave local communities input into projects proposed in their backyards, but it also helped developers.
One of the great features of coastal zone management is the opportunity for basically one-stop permitting. The idea that all agencies would work together in terms of a streamlined permitting process and coordination, which now is lacking. And, of course, the second element, which I think is of particular importance, is that the federal government would be required to submit its plans for review.
The proposed initiative was submitted to the Lieutenant Governor's office October 7th. Treadwell will rule by December 6th on whether sponsors can begin gathering nearly 26,000 signatures to put it on next November's ballot. The Department of Natural Resources will be back before lawmakers during the upcoming session. Millions of pages of Exxon Valdez oil spill litigation documents will be organized and permanently archived in the capital city. The State Archives Office has received a federal grant to make the documents accessible to the public. The National Historical Publications and Records Commission, commonly called the National Archives, has given Alaska nearly $110,000 to catalog material from the litigation, which took 5 years. Project Director Larry Hibsman describes the project.
Evaluate the records, appraise them, dispose what needs to be disposed of, and organize what needs to be organized, get it into our electronic catalog here in the archives, and then upload the catalog to a national bibliographic utility so they're available wherever anyone needs to use them.
Hisman says the project will take two full-time archivists about 2 years to complete. He expects the work to be done by September of 2013. He's already begun the evaluation.
There are lots and lots of witness interviews, some of which are probably depositions. There are exhibits, particularly the ones that support the interviews. There are the daily documents the lawyers filed as they went through to keep track. There's a great deal of the discovery material, both from the plaintiff to the defendant and the defendant to the plaintiff. Most of it's paper textual record. Some of it isn't. There's microfilm, for example. There are some recordings, and we'll make our decisions about that kind of stuff based on how good the copy is and also what it duplicates.
Hisman has assembled a 7-member oversight task force to review project activities and also advise the archivists on matters he says historians don't usually deal with, including legal issues, the science and technology of the spill and cleanup, regional concerns, and public information. The price of gold is up this morning in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,758.70 an ounce. Silver is also up slightly this morning, currently at $34.30 an ounce. Base metals are also on the rise, zinc at 86 cents a pound and lead at 89 cents a pound.